Hello, this is David Coulthard.
Hi, this is Sebastian Vettel.
Sebastian Vettel, you are the world champion! You are the man!
Hi, I'm Mark Webber here.
Great drive, Mark. Fantastic. We've won the Constructors. Thank you. Well done.
I just want to say a massive thank you to all of our loyal supporters of our podcast. So keep listening for future really cool stuff.
Hello and welcome to the Red Bull Racing Podcast. It's on to round 10 of the 2012 Formula One season, which takes us to Germany, home of our world champion Sebastian Vettel. The Hockenheim circuit was built in 1939 as a high-speed test track, and whilst the name remains legendary, Hockenheim is no longer the circuit it once was. It's scarcely a shadow of its former great self. The long blast through the forest, punctuated by the occasional interruption of a chicane, disappeared altogether in 2001 when sports authorities declared that either the layout was changed or the Grand Prix would be moved elsewhere. Through a hugely controversial and widely unpopular ultimatum, expediency won the day, and Hermann Tilke was called in to give the old girl a facelift for 2002. In broad terms, Hockenheim was reduced from being 4.2 miles in length to 2.8 miles, and with its previous excursions into the forest blocked off, effectively became a stadium circuit instead. Now it's better known for its atmosphere, with the locals' love of Sebastian and some other German drivers. The stadium section of the track can be very deafening indeed. On this edition of the podcast, we speak to both our drivers about their races here in Germany. We hear from Christian Horner, David Coulthard, plus some big-name Red Bull athletes that came to enjoy the weekend. First, Laura hooked up with our reserve driver, Sebastian Buemi, to do a lap of the Hockenheim circuit.
So, Sebastian, we're here at the Hockenheim Ring, and this is going to be a podcast with a difference, because you're actually going to take myself and our listeners on a lap of the Hockenheim Ring with you in this amazing Infiniti M37S. Let's go.
Let's go. First corner, quite quick. Bit of oversteer on the exit as it is wet.
Yes.
Then you go up the gears until the second corner. Need to try to avoid the rubber from the F1 car today, because it's even more slippery. We take the outside, it's a bit quicker, and then hard on the power, get the rear to an oversteer. The same in the third corner, and then flat out on the straight. Very long straight here in Hockenheim. This is where we reach the highest speed, around 200 with this Infiniti today. So quite nice. Still a bit wet, so not easy to get it flat, but still it's possible. Inside in the hairpin, back on the power. We can hear the tire.
Yeah.
Good power exit of the corner. Small right-hand corner, corner 7. We are lucky the circuit starts to dry up. Bit of oversteer. The last bit of the circuit with the stadium. Quite tricky corners. We've got to slow down quite a bit. The car is...
It gets very narrow here as well.
Exactly, so it's easy to lose it. Yeah, it's a very good place to watch, basically. You can see quite a lot. I think 30 or 40 seconds of the lap. And now the last two corners, right-hand corner. That's it. Lap done.
That was amazing. Thank you very much. One more question.
Yes.
Can we go again?
Yeah, for sure.
It took ages to get them off the track. Now, we always hear from our team principal about the races on each podcast, but never about the man behind it all. Katie spoke to Christian Horner about his life outside of racing.
Hey, Christian, we're often talking to you about racing and the races and qualifying, but not much about what you get up to in your spare time. So we've just got some questions that we're going to rattle through quickly. So, number one, how do you relax outside of Formula One, and what's the perfect day off for you?
Perfect day off for me is being at home. I live in the countryside, not too far from Silverstone, actually. And I just enjoy spending time. If it's nice outside, you know, we've got quite a few animals, dogs, chickens, ducks, donkeys, you name it. So it's sometimes just nice being at home and chilling out there.
Do you have a favourite animal?
Of course I don't. You know. No, we've got, what have we got? We've got 14 ducks that are just have had two more babies last week. We've got 16 chickens, 3 dogs, 2 donkeys. So I think that's about enough for now.
And what's the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
Don't fuck it up. by Mr. B. Eccleston.
And is there one thing aside from what you do as your job that you're really good at?
I'm not bad on the lawnmower. You know, you don't get a lot of downtime in Formula One. I enjoy playing tennis. I wouldn't say I was particularly good, but I enjoy playing. And I have my license on helicopters, so PPL on helicopters.
When you were growing up, what racing driver did you most want to be like?
Nigel Mansell, but without the moustache.
What's one thing you've never done that you'd really like to do?
Win a triple world championship.
What's one thing that really annoys you?
Being late.
Do you collect anything?
Quite a bit of rubbish. Just animals, it seems.
If you're having a dinner party, what would be your 3 top guests you'd like to invite?
I reckon Boris Johnson would be quite fun. He'd make it. Winston Churchill.
You need a lady in there, I think.
And a lady, Margaret Thatcher, to keep it a political evening.
Light-hearted.
Yeah, very.
And if you weren't working in the field that you work in, what would you like to be doing?
I have no idea. I grew up in the sport, started life as a driver, and then turned my focus into management. So I never had a proper job. I did a deal with my parents to leave school at 18 and not go to university and take 1 year out, and so far I haven't been, so hopefully I've avoided it now.
There's always time for education, Christian. On to the race now, and the weekend got off to a great start with Sebastian taking P2 and Mark P3 during qualifying, which meant Seb joined Alonso on the front row of the grid for his home race, while Mark started in P8, given a 5-place grid penalty for a gearbox change. Come race day, the pair managed to hold their positions, with Seb taking 2nd place and Mark finishing in P8. But although Seb crossed the line in 2nd place, he was given a 20-second penalty after the race for leaving the track and gaining an advantage when he rejoined. This left him in 5th place after the adjustment. The race was won by Fernando Alonso. The remainder of the top 10 after Seb's penalty reads Jenson Button in 2nd place, followed by Kimi Räikkönen, Kimi Kobayashi, then Seb, Sergio Perez, Michael Schumacher, Mark in 8th position, with Nico Hülkenberg and Nico Rosberg rounding off the 10. Here are Sebastian and Mark after the race.
Well, I think we had a decent race. Obviously, not enough pace, especially once we got close enough to Fernando at some parts of the race, beginning and then after the first stop. Never close enough to really start the manoeuvre. In the end, I think we lost the position to Jensen, who had, I think, a good stop. He came in a little bit earlier, plus a couple laps before that I lost quite some time with Lewis, and then in the end Jensen's tyres were absolutely gone, and we were able to close the gap again, and then I think it was a question of when rather than where, and tried to outbrake him. He opened the brake again and then was at the inside. I wasn't sure where he was. I couldn't see him, to be honest, in that moment, and then decided to give enough space, and decided to go offline on the slippery paint, and still was able to stay ahead, and that's how I got past him. As I said, the only intention was not to crash and to give him enough room, so I had the nose. I was a little bit in front because I was braking later, and then I was pretty sure he's not giving up like that. I know him quite well, and I think we get along quite well with each other, so there's respect on both sides, and I didn't want to squeeze him at the inside, so that's why I decided to open. Obviously, we did everything we could, and sometimes it was good, sometimes not so good. We lost some points, but that's life.
I couldn't keep a solid pace at all. It was just basically hanging on. Obviously, I was a little bit held up in the first stint, but after that, just wasn't strong enough really at any point in the race today to put up any serious challenge for a decent amount of points. Yeah, bizarre to have quite a lot of races very, very competitive, and then you finish 40 seconds away from the leader. So I had little imbalance things here and there, but that's normal, you know. But overall, the grip, I was obviously able to keep the lap times low enough, as simple as that. It was quite a difficult race to try thinking about trying to do something different, but in the end, when you don't have the pace, you can't do anything different.
David Coulthard followed the whole race closely from the BBC commentary box. Here's what he made of it all.
Well, Hockenheim, another fantastic display from Fernando Alonso, winning the Grand Prix. Much disappointment for Red Bull, of course. It's a very unfortunate situation where the penalty that's been applied, 20 seconds, forces Sebastian down into fifth place. Knock-on effect of that on the championship is significant, because it now allows Fernando to have at least a win in hand over Mark and Sebastian. Should he fail to finish a race, I think it definitely raises the question whether there should be other penalties that can be applied in that situation, because actually a drive-through penalty would have been what was given had he not given the place back during the Grand Prix, and even a drive-through would only cost you 12 seconds, which is the time to pass through the pit lane. So they didn't manage to penalise Red Bull in the morning, but clearly in the afternoon they were able to, and Mark Webber not having the strongest of races means that Germany 2012 wasn't the happiest of Grand Prix for Red Bull, but nonetheless for the fans of Formula 1, I think it was an exciting race. You had three different manufacturers once again battling out for the podium position, and I'm sure Jenson Button is relieved that he seems to have rediscovered some of his form. Onwards to Budapest, only a week between the Grand Prix, so everyone will be back out on track. Puts a lot of pressure on teams to try and come up with any upgrades in that period of time, and very different demands in Budapest. Tight, twisty track, usually very hot, so it's a physical one for the teams. It's a track that rewards more downforce and grip than top line, straight line speed, so it'll be interesting to see just exactly who delivers on that track.
Now, we were joined by some Red Bull athletes from the world of sport over the weekend. Here's Laura with Moto3 star Sandro Cortez.
Okay, so Sandro, it's your first time at an F1 race. Having witnessed it firsthand, do you think four wheels can be anywhere near as thrilling as two?
I just watched the qualifying practice, and it was same thrilling as in our class or in the MotoGP. It's all the last minutes, and it's so close, and you need just a perfect setup to have a good qualifying and, of course, a good race. So it's nice to see somehow the other side of the racing for four wheels and enjoying the Formula One on this weekend.
Brilliant. You're also part of the Red Bull family in that you're a Moto3 Red Bull athlete. Can you tell us what the best thing about being a Red Bull athlete is?
I just love how Red Bull works. It's just a family on the racing. It's they work together, we live together, like we travel so much the whole year together that you have to just work together and have a good feeling, the team spirit, and whatever Red Bull does, it always has like they try to do it perfect and on a good way, and it's just good to do it.
I'll enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thank you very much.
Laura also spoke to two times DTM champion Matthias Ekström. Here are his thoughts on Hockenheim.
You're obviously no stranger to speed, Matthias, but we'd imagine this isn't your first time at Hockenheim either.
It's true. I'm used to Hockenheim. I think I've been here for about 25 times doing races, so it's home ground more or less. It's the closest race to where I live. I mean, it's just a little bit odd and strange to be here when I'm not racing myself. It's probably the third time in my DTM life I'm going to a race weekend and not racing. It's quite nice in a way to just watch and be relaxed and see how other people are having a work to do, and I'm not. So I'm just watching and looking on details and learning something, so somehow enjoyable.
But is it also quite hard on the other hand, because you're here, you're amongst all the energy and the sounds of the engines and stuff? Does that make you wish you were back out on track?
Or? Yeah, I mean, in a way it would be nice to be driving for sure, but I also have to say it's nice to have a weekend without stress. I mean, here it's a complete different story just watching. So I think end of the holiday, the last weekend before we start racing, probably I would like to jump in the car and drive. Now, when we are just starting our off-season holiday, I feel more like, yeah, it's quite nice not to have the stress. So I'm quite easy, I have to say. I enjoy being a spectator today.
If there was one Formula One driver that you had to nominate as one that you think your driving style is most similar to, who would that be and why?
Yeah, I think it's probably Sebastian. He wants a car which is very sharp on the front axle, which means when you turn the steering wheel, the car should turn. And that's the way I grew up to drive, and what I see when I follow Sebastian, he is also the same. So I think when you prefer more oversteer, if you have to choose, then understeer. I think that's the way I see myself driving. I mean, there are also other guys successful driving the cars with different setups, but in the big picture, I think that's why I would pick Sebastian.
And then finally, you've obviously been to Hockenheim many times, but for people that were coming here for the first time, what would your top tip for them be?
Yeah, I mean, when you're here and watching the race, I think the first sector is, for me as a driver, quite exciting, especially turn one. But then when you go down to turn three, the parabolica down to the hairpin is the place where I would sit and watch the race if I would be on the grandstands, because there you will see most of the action, people trying to outbreak each other for the first right-hand hairpin. Then when they come back to the Mercedes Arena, for the left is the second good place. So that's definitely where I would sit and watch the race. In a way, you can also say the last sector in the Motodrome is exciting, but there I would sit in qualifying, because that's where you see the cars the longest, and you can see how the drivers are choosing different lines and so on. But as I said, I sat today in the stadium and watching the race from the Mercedes Arena, that you can see some overtaking maneuvers. That would be my tip.
Thank you.
We heard from him earlier, but final word on the race, as always, goes to our team principal, Christian Horner. Katie spoke to him earlier today.
Christian, it's been a pretty eventful day in Germany today. How's it been for you?
Yeah, it's been a bit full on. It started this morning with a trip to the steward's office about talk maps, but having been through with the stewards and the regulations, they were happy that we completely comply. So with that dealt with, we then went into the race. A strong race for Seb. It was nip and tuck all the way through with him and Fernando. But one of those things. So he did a good job to get past Jensen in the last few laps there. But unfortunately, the stewards deemed that he got an unfair advantage going off the track. And the only penalty available to them is 20 seconds, which is a great shame. But we still leave here leading the Constructors' Championship, and with both drivers second and third in the Drivers' Championship at the halfway point. You know, there's an awful lot of racing to go starting next weekend in Budapest.
And great execution from the team as well, still with everything else going on. Good pit stops, good teamwork.
Yep, no, I mean, it's always distracting when you've got a few things going on in the background. The team, stayed focused, and we executed a good race today. Unfortunately, Mark seemed to struggle a bit in the race, but I think that, again, losing time on Friday with poor weather was pretty tricky.
Okay, well, we'll be seeing you again just in 3 days, because Hungary is this week already.
Yep, Hungary will be there on running from Friday morning onwards. So, we don't have to leave Germany too disappointed. We had a good car in the race. Ultimately, we didn't achieve our maximum today, but we've got less than a week to bounce back and be back in action in Hungaroring in 5 days' time.
Well, that's it for this edition of the Red Bull Racing Podcast. We'll be back from Hungary next week for the final race before the summer break. Until then, take care.